The following paid program is furnished by Raskin Resources Productions. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff.
Welcome to the Patricia Raskin Show, the program that helps you turn obstacles into opportunities, challenges into solutions, and find answers to tough questions. The award-winning powerhouse voice of radio, Patricia Raskin. And now, here's your host, Patricia Raskin.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Patricia Raskin Show. So excited to be with you. We're in year number 8, started in 2008. So that's pretty exciting. And so happy to have you with us. We have a power-packed show, as we always do, bring you some new insights and new information. And first up in our first half hour, we're talking about a disorder that is fast growing, and we're coming up with answers. We're talking about autism, which is the fastest growing developmental disorder in the United States. And today we are talking to Carrie Quintel, who is a criminal, family, and juvenile law attorney in Massachusetts with over 15 years of experience representing children, teenagers, and adults, including those with autism, Lyme disease, and arthritis, and also Asperger's, we would add to that. And this segment, this half hour, is brought to you by Carrie Quintel, Law Offices. Hello, Carrie.
Hi there, Patricia.
Yeah, great to have you on the program. You know, this is interesting that autism is the fastest growing developmental disorder in the United States. Why is that?
Well, Patricia, there are several theories on that. I won't get into any of the controversial theories. However, I think education and early diagnosis is one of the major reasons why we're better able to identify children with these special needs.
Yeah, and you represent a lot of families with autistic children. Why did you decide to focus on this area?
Well,
you're very passionate about it.
I am very passionate about it. In my prior life, before I became an attorney, yeah, I was a certified nursing assistant, and I worked with special needs children in the respite care, where I did 48 hours, and I did home care and in-facility services as well. And so it's always been a passion of mine, and so I thought it was a natural progression to branch that into my law office as well.
Mm. And I know that you're listed as a resource in something called Autism Speaks.
Correct.
Tell us about that.
Autism Speaks is a wonderful organization, and this is a little bit of a plug for them because they're fabulous. And they're out of Boston, and they provide all kinds of resources and support for families, whether it's a recent or a new diagnosis or whether it's just a change, maybe a move in location. They're just absolutely wonderful.
Now, what's interesting, and I learned this as I got to talk to you, why does a child with autism or Asperger's or Down syndrome, why do they need an attorney?
That's very interesting, because a lot of times children with special needs, especially autism, some of their behaviors could be interpreted as suspicious. So they do what's called self-soothing. Behaviors that they could do, like rocking or... They have
screaming maybe or crying.
Possibly if it was due to sensory overload, but more importantly, I think children their eye contact is very poor a lot of times. Their communication is very poor, and so they may be looked at in an untrained eye as being evasive. They're not trying to be evasive at all. They're just they don't know how to communicate well.
Right, which means they could get into trouble or get picked on.
Absolutely.
And they don't even know this is happening.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it could happen on the playground. It could happen in a mall.
Yes.
It could happen.
It can happen. It can happen just about anywhere. But, for instance, you and I in the general public, we know about body language and space. You know, you don't come into my space. I don't come into your space. Well, a child with autism may not have those clearly defined boundaries. Right. And so I think that, again, the more education and the early diagnosis will help put that child in an effective setting to make them successful.
So why might a parent contact you? For the reasons we mentioned, there might have been an issue on the playground.
Fight at school, let's try that one. That's, you know, that might be very relevant. And then they speak to the child and say, so what happened out there? Nothing. The child doesn't respond. The child doesn't make eye contact. And again, they're not trying to be uncooperative.
You're really helping with the rights of these children. You're really helping with rights of special needs children, which is such an admirable thing to do, Carrie.
Thank you.
So let's talk first, and I do want to say this for our listening audience, folks. Carrie's practices in Massachusetts.
Correct.
So if you have had, you or your child or an adult, an autistic adult, has had an incident in Massachusetts.
Correct.
Anywhere, if it happens there, I mean, you said you got a call from somebody in the South.
Correct.
Who happened to be in Massachusetts and had an incident.
Correct.
So if the occurrence happens in that state, which is right around the corner from Rhode Island,
yes,
then they certainly can call you because this is where you practice. So for those of you who have family, relatives, or you have friends with special needs children or special needs adults that you know feel have been treated unfairly and could use representation, and this incident has happened in Massachusetts, please contact Carrie Conquell. And her number is 508-695-0285. 508-695-0285. And also what we're doing as well is that if you have a question, you can either give it to Sean. You can call in and give it to Sean, and he'll write it for us, and we'll answer it if we feel we can. If Carrie would rather call you and speak to you privately, she'd be happy to do that. She is very happy. As you said, Carrie, you're willing to call back anybody who contacts you this week.
Yes.
For a consultation. They'll get first preference if they tell you they heard it on the show.
That's correct.
All right. So the number again is 508-695-0285. All right. So let's find out, a parent comes to you and they say, you know, my child is autistic and has had a big fight on the playground,
mm-hmm,
and the school is coming to me. So what's the initial session like with the parent and the child, Carrie,
okay,
in your office?
So initially what I try to do is I bring both the parent and the child in, and I explain what my role is. And my role is as the advocate for the child is that I have to have some private time with the child to be able to ask them questions and to get them to loosen up and work with me.
What if the parent says, well, I want to, you know, my child may not be able to express it to you correctly. I'd like to be in the room.
And that's perfectly fine initially, especially for background information and supplemental information. No one can tell it better to me than a parent. You know, when was the child first diagnosed with an IEP? Mm-hmm. When was the first initial diagnosis, mm-hmm, of autism? When was the first neuropsychological report? Things of that nature. Parents are exceptional at that.
Right.
But when I'm asking about the perceptions of the child at school,
right,
no one can tell it better to me than the child.
And why can't the parent be in the room when the child is telling you?
Because there is an attorney-client relationship that, okay, is between the child and myself.
Okay.
Parents are welcome to sit in the waiting area in my office, but I do need to establish that relationship and trust with the child that's going to be so critically important, especially when we get to court.
Okay. What information does the parent or guardian or caretaker, mm-hmm, bring to your office? Medical records, I would assume.
Not often medical,
really,
records, but no, because initially they'll give me a breakdown. And then they'll say, you know, I'm just going to make these names up, but Dr. Jones had first diagnosed little Jimmy with autism when he was 5, back in 2006. Again, I don't specifically look to review all the medical records at that point.
You just want to find out what the situation was.
Exactly.
From the parent's perspective, as much as the parent knows, and then talking to the child.
Correct.
And then, after you've done that, then what happens? So you've had your first session, and then you've also met with the child. What's the next step? You have to decide if you have a case.
Well,
correct?
We would decide if we have a case, but we also do a couple other things. Like, I may specifically inquire to the parents and say, has the child had any recent blood work?
And why is that important?
Well, that can identify other issues. So a child who is displaying some socially inappropriate behaviors for whatever reason, it may be that the child, the thyroid could be off, or it could be a million different things. And I'm not a medical provider. But
that strengthens the position of the child maybe not knowing or not understanding in terms of the court.
Well, it gives us an explanation, and it gives us something to figure out where we want to map this out. Where are we going next? How are we going to approach this? And things do change, by the way. So maybe an initial diagnosis is not the same at this juncture. Maybe there's some additional recommendations that we need to be following. And so we look for things like that.
All right. So now you decide if you have a case.
Correct.
And then the next step is?
The next step is meeting with, I either pick the parents or the child. Usually the parents, because they give me a very in-depth historical background of the child. So I meet with the parent first, and I ask them how things are going at home. And then the next appointment would be with just the child.
Okay.
Obviously accompanied by the parent. But
okay. And then what's the step after that?
The step after that might be to reach out to the providers. And
the providers,
the medical providers, the counselors, mental health counselors.
And then what about the place where the incident? Let's say it happened at school.
Mm-hmm.
Then do you speak to the principal or the counselor?
I may not speak to the principal directly, but what I might do is I might look to see if the child has a special education advocate, and I may request those records from the school to take a look at that.
Okay. And so. Carrie, does this kind of case go to court or go to trial or not usually?
Yes.
It does?
Yes. Yes.
And does little Johnny have to testify?
Little Johnny may or may not have to testify. But more
you get nervous.
But more importantly, we want to make sure that little Johnny has a plan and support in place for him so that there are no further problems while you have an open case. Most important.
Meaning that you've gotten some help for him. You've already have a strategic plan.
Yes.
To help him in the future.
Correct.
And then you bring that to court.
Correct.
Right. So the judge isn't going to say, well, what are you going to do? And you say, I don't know. The judge is going to say, what are you going to do? And you're going to say, here it is.
Exactly. But that does change a lot. That does change a lot. That plan can change a bit. There is huge delays in getting the experts to evaluate these children. They're in very high demand. There's often a very long wait. Educational advocates are extremely booked. So a lot of times I will make the personal call myself and say, I have a child here and I think that I'd like to refer mom to you. And I think it's right up your alley and I think you do a great job.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we are talking to Carrie Kuntel. She is a criminal, family, and juvenile law attorney in Massachusetts with over 15 years of experience representing children, teenagers, adults, including those with autism, Lyme disease, arthritis, Down syndrome, Asperger's. But we are focusing right now on autism. So we're going to give you Carrie Kuntel's phone number. And if you have a friend or relative or anyone with a special need, particularly a child, but it could be an adult, and they have had an incident in the state of Massachusetts, no matter where they're from, but the incident happened in Massachusetts, please give Carrie a call. She is giving complimentary consultations to anyone who says they heard it on this program, The Patricia Raskin Show. 508-695-0285. And I'm going to have Sean write it down so that if you call in, Sean will give you that number too. Or if you have a question, he can take the question. 508-695-0285. And the number here to call is 438-WPRO, 438-9776. So when we come back, we're going to give you a situation. You know, what would be a hypothetical situation in terms of something happening, how it would be handled, and, you know, what your rights are if you're a parent, if you're a caregiver, if you're a friend looking out for a friend. And you want to help them with their rights because, you know, special needs are no special needs. You know, we all should be able to get representation. And these special needs children are so special, right?
Particularly they are.
Autistic children. I mean, you told me, Carrie, you had a child recently and you just beamed how special that child was. Yeah.
It is a very rewarding experience.
All right. You're listening to The Patricia Raskin Show. This half hour is brought to you by Carrie A. Quintel Law Office. And we will be right back right here on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM. We're WPRO, and we're the voice of Southern New England. And I'm Patricia Raskin. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. We are back. You are listening to The Patricia Raskin Show. And this half hour is brought to you by the Law Office of Carrie A. Quintel. And she is in North Attleboro, Massachusetts. Carrie Quintel is a criminal family and juvenile law attorney in Massachusetts with over 15 years of experience representing children, teenagers, and adults, including those with autism, Lyme disease, arthritis, Asperger's, and Down syndrome. And today we are focusing on autism. And we just want to let you know that if you have anyone, if you know anyone that has autism or any special needs and they've gotten into trouble and, you know, they obviously don't realize they're in trouble because of their condition and the incident has happened in Massachusetts, please do call Carrie. She's outstanding. She really cares. She loves these children and she really helps them. And the number is 508-695-0285, 508-695-0285. You can call here and leave your number with Sean. Carrie can call you back, or you can give your question to Sean, who'll put it on the board, and we'll take a look at it to see if we can answer it on the air. 438-WPRO, 438-9776. All right, so Carrie, let's do a hypothetical situation. Now, I know that you really have to watch attorney-client privilege. So you're going to change the gender, and you're going to change a lot of different things, but you're going to give us a hypothetical example of what might happen with a special needs child.
Sure.
And how you would handle it.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Okay. So let's say that we're in the 7-Eleven store and okay. Little Mary's in there and Little Mary's going to get a pack of gum and some candy and some soda. And she has that in her hand and she's wandering around. And all of a sudden the store owner says, "What the heck? Mary's been in here for a while." So the store owner stops. Now, she hasn't paid for anything yet, mm-hmm. by the way, mm-hmm. Patricia. Mm-hmm. So the store owner stops, yells at Mary and says, "Hey, what are you doing?" So Mary is like the deer in the headlights, stops, freezes, doesn't know what to do because what do we have going on here? Mm-hmm. Well, we have Mary was just going to buy a soda and some snacks, but apparently some of her behavior was looked at as suspicious.
Okay.
Now, the act of yelling at Mary, saying, "Hey, stop," or "Get out of here," is really going to startle her.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the difficulties that we do know with autistic children is sensory deprivation. We know that children with this disorder have extreme difficulty with loud noises. Mm-hmm. So any sort of external stimuli may... you know, not have the same response as another child who would say, "What do you mean, get out of here? I just want to get soda mm-hmm. and a candy."
Right. Would be able to stand up for themselves and explain it.
Correct.
Clearly. Right.
Correct.
Okay.
So a lot of times when these type of children are questioned, they...
So what might happen? Let's take that incident
sure.
further. So then the store owner does what?
Calls the police.
Okay.
And says, "Mary's trying to steal. Was looking really suspicious. Maybe she's on drugs even. Her eyes couldn't make eye contact. Could be mistaken for using drugs, let's just say." Okay. This is all from the store owner. And
so
again,
now,
hypothetical.
So now the police comes in.
Yep, the police
now
come
what
in.
Happens?
Well, a trained police officer will know to be very careful on how they ask questions, what they're asking.
Because they'll know something is off.
They may have some training. So there's a lot of advanced education and awareness now mm-hmm. that was not as prevalent as right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big issue. But the police come in and they may or may not. Again, they got to balance the interests of the child and the store owner. Store owner just wants, you know, "We've had break-ins here for the last 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
child was setting us up." Mm-hmm. No, that wasn't the case at all.
All right. So the policeman comes in, police officer,
yep.
and speaks to the child.
Correct.
And then what happens? The police officer calls the parent.
Let's say the child just says, "Oh, I want to get out of here," to themselves.
Right.
"I want to get out of here. So I'm just going to tell them what they want to hear. Yeah, I did it."
Oh.
Is it a voluntary confession?
Mm.
I don't know.
Mm. So now All right, so fast forward. The police officer calls the parent.
Correct.
Now the parent is beside themselves.
Right.
And this is when the parent needs to call you.
Correct.
Okay. It's a very, that's quite an example. Does that happen often?
Which portion?
The incident of a child holding something and being suspicious.
I think it happens more often than not, to be honest with you. And again, I just use that example.
Now,
there are multiple.
Now, another example could be a child is being bullied. Right?
That, correct.
That's another one.
Yes.
And they just go into a daze.
Well, more importantly, a child is being bullied and the child is not aware of the space limitations between people. So let's say I stop picking at you. And I'm an autistic child, Patricia. That might be really annoying to you. Now you go to report to the school. Right. Now I'm in trouble.
Right. This is amazing. All right. What we want to do is, this is a call to action, folks. And so I want you to write this number down. If any of you have any friends, if any of these stories are resonating for you, I want you to pick up the phone and call the law office of Carrie A. Quintel, 508-695-0285. She's licensed in Massachusetts, which means that the incident needs to have happened in Massachusetts. Even though she'll be able to answer your question, even if it happened elsewhere, she can help you if it has happened in Massachusetts. And just
correct.
Say,
but I also can refer out to other professionals
absolutely.
As well.
And speaking of that, you also work with other professionals.
Yes.
You work with mental health professionals, law enforcement, educational professionals, medical professionals. All right. And again, the number is 508-695-0285. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Patricia.
I think your message would be, we've got to help these children.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks so much, Carrie.
Thank you.
I'll have you back. All right. All right, folks, stay tuned. We're going to be talking to Robbie Holtz next about how do you make your dreams happen. And then the 5 o'clock hour is Lisa Tenner talking about book writing and books, and I'll be on with her as well, sharing my story. You're listening to The Patricia Raskin Show, right here on News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO. We're the voice of Southern New England. This segment's been brought to you by the law office of Carrie A. Quintel. In the Seascape News Center, the news is up next.